Support for WILL Agriculture comes from Murray Wise Associates, LLC. Land auctions, farm management, financial services, and institutional and corporate real estate. Information on upcoming land auctions can be found at murraywiseassociates.com.
Good Monday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening commodity market report. The government's cattle inventory data confirmed that the nation's cattle herd contracted again in 2013. The report released Friday showed the nation's cattle supply fell 2% last year to 87.7 million head. That's the smallest since 1951. However, the number of heifers intended to be added to the beef cattle breeding herd, known as replacements, rose 2% to 5.47 million head, and that is the highest in 5 years. The number of beef cattle replacements in key cow-calf states like Texas rose 7%, while in Nebraska replacements were up 10.6%, and in Oklahoma up 16%. This morning, private exporters reported the USDA export sales of 113,780 metric tons of corn for delivery to unknown destinations during the 2013-14 marketing year. Also heading out the door today is 40,000 metric tons of soybean oil, also for delivery to unknown destinations during the 13 and 14 marketing year. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is trading at 15,631. It's up 1. The NASDAQ, 3518, up almost 5. And the S&P 500 is 1777, and it is up 1. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Weather conditions across the Midwest are going to deteriorate as we move through the night tonight and go into the day on Tuesday and Wednesday, and that's because of a strong storm system that's likely to move across the region from the plains. The storm system promises widespread precipitation, much of which will occur in the form of snow, and there will be some blowing and drifting of snow as well as the storm system wraps up. We're expecting to see 3 to 10 inches of accumulation across a big part of the region from the central plains into the heart of the Midwest. Most of that will occur from Kansas up to Michigan and parts of Ohio. Would not be surprising at all to see some totals over 10 inches, but mostly in a few pockets across Indiana, maybe Ohio, as the storm system reaches full maturation. We're expecting the storm to go ahead and exit out of the region on Wednesday, and behind it will be a surge of cold air, which will settle into many areas. It'll be cold most of this week, in fact, across the plains in the western Corn Belt. We'll expect to see temperatures in the positive and negative single digits much of the week in the northwestern and west central parts of the region, and readings into the southwest may only be teens and 20s at times. Lows at night will drop down into some very impressive negative teens pretty far to the south, reaching into portions of northern Missouri and portions of Kansas. We do expect to see temperatures in the northern plains and upper Mississippi River Basin to get back into some negative 20s. This morning, Sterling Rock Falls area of northwestern portions of Illinois fell to minus 27 degrees underneath the surface high pressure that was located over that region this morning. Many other locations in northwest and west central portions of Illinois, eastern portions of Iowa, back into northern Missouri reported negative teens to around minus 22 degrees. That is incredibly cold for any place in the continent, and especially in those locations. We'll expect the cold to abate temporarily. We'll have increased cloudiness, of course, around tonight, and tomorrow, of course, widespread precipitation will occur, so there won't be any more bitter cold like that until we get to Thursday and Friday mornings. At that point, we will see temperatures once again dropping rather impressively low, and this time around, there shouldn't be any serious threat of winter kill across the major wheat-producing areas in the country. According to satellite imagery this morning, there is no snow on the ground in parts of South Dakota. And much of that is not key wheat-producing country, but it looks like a small part of wheat areas might be snow-free. That would be a small production region that could be have been impacted this morning by bitter cold conditions. And outside of that, there's snow-free conditions in southwest Kansas and portions of Oklahoma, but temperatures weren't cold enough in those areas to be an issue this morning, and they will have snow on the ground by the time we get involved with the coldest air again, which will be Thursday. And across the heart of the Midwest, not only will we see significant snow occurring, but we'll also have some heavy rain, some sleet and freezing rain also occurring. This will occur mostly south or near and south of the Ohio River. It looks like most of the heavy rain will be in the Tennessee River Basin and portions of the Northern Delta, and we may see some 1 to 2 inch plus amounts of moisture across some of that region, perhaps even some totals up around 3 inches. We'll see some snow and freezing rain and some sleet occurring near the Ohio River, and travel across all of the Midwest will be quite hazardous tomorrow into Wednesday morning. We'll look for a little bit of a break in the pattern, but as we get into the weekend coming up, there may be yet another storm system. Today's forecast models take the storm system further to the south so that there will be less impact across places like Chicago and Detroit and Lansing, Michigan, but greater impact perhaps on the Ohio River Valley or Basin itself. We'll see some more heavy snows across those areas. There's still some potential the storm system will relax a little bit and come back to the north just slightly, so we'll need to continue to monitor that. That storm system will also produce several inches of snow and rain across portions of lower Midwest southward into the Gulf Coast states. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Support for this agricultural weather report comes from Busey. Busey believes that healthy businesses strengthen our local economy. They have a commercial banking team with 20-plus years of experience providing lending solutions to meet unique business needs. Busey, your dream, our promise.
The 25th annual All-Day Ag Outlook meeting is sure to attract a crowd. Among those presenting March 4th at the Beef House, Ag and Investment Services' Sue Martin. Also, Murray Wise will give us his thoughts on 2014 land values. And Jonathan Kopress will take us through the key facts of the commodity title of the new Farm Bill. And, of course, our great panels on corn, soybeans, and cash grain. It's all just $30, and we'll give you a Continental Breakfast, Beef House Lunch, and commemorative 25th Anniversary hat. Call 217-333-7300 with your major credit card to reserve your spot, and you'll receive your tickets in the mail. That's 217-333-7300. And let's see how futures are currently trading. Hard red May wheat, 6.10¾ down a quarter. Soft May, 5.60¼ up 2. March corn, 4.37 up 3. July, 4.46½ up 2½. December, 4.52¾ up 2¾. March beans, 12.92½ up 9¾. July, 12.60¾ up 8¾. November, 11.08¼ up 3¾. March soybeans, 4.32.20 now 10 up $6. March soybean oil, 37.43 down 21. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Aaron Curtis of MITCO. He is in Bloomington, Normal, Illinois. Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning, Dave. How are you?
I am doing well. It is a good day to move corn today. Tomorrow into Wednesday, at least in parts of Illinois, not so much. And I got to think that maybe, given the weather and that we actually got over 435, might have some people interested.
Yeah, we are seeing a little producer selling here overnight and into the morning session here this morning. Dave, producer continues to reward the market here as we move up into these resistant levels. This 440 level is going to be kind of the next technical point that traders are watching here. We got up to 438 here this morning in March corn, backing off a touch. We'll see if we want to try that level out. And beans have turned back higher here after trading lower here early this morning. Things are working up into some double-digit gains. So another green day across the board here this morning, Dave.
In fact, if you're a technical follower of beans, you have to like the action, clearing the 25-day moving average, clearing Fibonacci at 38.2%, and also kind of a trend line that goes through July and an uptrend line of July and October of last year. All signs pointing to a little bit higher, maybe.
Yeah, we really really tried to throw a lot of bad news at the market last week. Weather improving in Argentina over the last couple weeks. These continued rumors of Chinese cancellations. You know, saw some cancellations in the Thursday report from unknown destinations. Continue to hold that 1260 mark once again last week, and here we are 30-some cents above that. So, yeah, technically continues to be somewhat impressive here to start the week. And over on corn still, we sold a couple more cargoes of corn. So, you know, really the corn demand story continues to be a bright one, Dave, and that continues to offer support underneath the market.
So do you like corn going another 10 cents?
Well, I still want to watch it around this 440 mark. I think producers still hold somewhat of the key here for both spreads, basis, and futures. So they continue to see an active selling pattern here. That's going to limit the upside a little bit. But if we can get through 440, that opens the door for another 10 cents or so, Dave.
Thank you much, Aaron.
Have a good day.
Bye. You too. Aaron Curtis of MITCO, and he is in Bloomington Normal, Illinois. Let's look at the current tick. March corn is 437, up 3. July, 446 and 3 quarters, up 2 and 3 quarters. And December, 452 and a half, up 2 and a half. March beans, 1294 and a quarter, up 11 and 3 quarters, now up 12. November, 1109 and a quarter, up 4 and 3 quarters. Have you called this number yet? 217-333-7300 to order your tickets to the 25th Annual All-Day Ag Outlook Meeting. Yeah, we can get it over with and do it this morning. 217-333-7300. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana.